And our Father in heaven, we give you the glory and the praise. We bow before your majesty. We honor you, the one that governs the whole nations. We exalt the name of Jesus in this house. We celebrate you, the God of glory. We declare that there is no one like Yeshua. There is no one like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We make a prayer this morning that you come and take your place in our lives. Come and make your residence in our hearts. Lord, as we hear your word further, we pray that the entrance of your word will bring liberty. The entrance of your word will bring understanding. The entrance of your word will bring a change and an impact. We just give you the glory and the praise. Sweet Holy Spirit, we welcome you once again. As never before, take your place in this house and glorify Jesus. For we prayed with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Please be seated in God's presence. Bless the name of the Lord for the privilege to be here this morning. I believe you have been blessed since the service started. I want to say it's a privilege. I count it a privilege to be here. And I say a big thank you to every one of you for inviting me to be part of this service dedicated for the young people. And that is to say the next generation. Amen. Amen. Is somebody happy to be in the house? Somebody happy to be alive on the planet Earth? Your amen is too low. Can I have a living amen? Yeah. The amen is still on the floor. Can I have a living amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. I also welcome you to the month of March. This is going to be one of the best months you will have this year for somebody in the house. Your amen should be louder than your labor's amen. Amen. In March, you will march over your limitations. In March, you will move forward. The long-awaited prayers shall be answered because the Lord is on the throne. Hallelujah. And to our young and the next generation, we celebrate you on this day. And we want to say that we love you. With a round of applause, help me celebrate the next generation. The clap is too low, church. Hallelujah. It's not easy to be a young person. If you are a young person in this house, give God a shout. Do I have young people in this house? Do I have young people in this house? Come on, let's celebrate God. Let's celebrate God. Hey! Hey! And hold it. Some young people want to retire before their time. I said, do I have young people in this house? If you are seated and you are a young person, you are a suspect. Hey! Hey! Come on, give God a shout! Come on, give God a shout! Hey, what? That's all that I didn't say speech. You can't retire before your time. Tufiawa. Somebody said Tufiawa. So when they call young people, you do what young people are supposed to do. The glory of the young people is in their strength. Come on, do some crazy things. Hey! Be seated in God's presence. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm happy we have young people in this house. Ah. Ewo. Maliandere go de bush. God help us. Somebody say, God help us. This morning, I've been asked to speak on a subheading titled Discipling the Next Generation. And we shall take our text from where we read this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When we talk about discipling the next generation, we are talking about evangelizing the next generation. Taking the gospel to the next generation. We are talking about raising a generation after God's heart. We are talking about influencing the next generation. We are talking about making a great impact among the next generation. We are talking about teaching the next generation the ways of the Lord. We are talking about coaching the next generation. And I'm happy that in this assembly, since this year, we have diligently been looking at the theme, the annual theme that says, discipling the nations. Now, if you go to Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19, media, if you have New Living Translation, please give me. If anybody has New Living Translation in the house, please fast. If you go to New Living Translation, it says, Matthew 28, 18 to 19, I have been given complete authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. 20. Teach the new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of what? Of the age. This was God's injunction or command to us that we should do what? Go and make disciples. In this injunction, the next generation are inclusive. Do you agree with me? They are. And I want to let us know that evangelism or discipleship is one of the things you can engage yourself in and be assured of God's presence till He comes. Now, praying is good. Prophecy, perfect. Singing, wonderful. Giving, without money, the work of God cannot be done. True of us. True. But Matthew 28 verse 20. If you want God to be with you in the valley, in the mountain, in good weather, in bad weather, in everything you do in life, till Jesus comes back, you have to do what? Go make disciples. That is the only guarantee that He will be with you till He comes. And I'm sure that when we engage ourselves in doing this, God Himself will fulfill His own bit. Amen. Now, church, the truth is, we are in perilous times, the most difficult time in the history of man, with high rates of moral decadence, juvenile delinquency. You know, it has become a daily affair. More entertainment places are being built. I'm sure as you are seated here, you can count how many new hotels that are being built in this city. Three of us, did you notice that? More new hotels are being built, including Mankagaru next year. You understand? So, more entertainment places. Not just even hotels, and more entertainment, you know, nightclub places. Recently, we have the bus stop around Bisala. And before they unveiled it, I was just wondering, what is bus stop? What does it mean, bus stop? And they would say remove. And eventually discover it was meant to be an entertainment place. And it's already on. So more entertainment places will be built. And the point is that the internet and the social media, they are not helping matters. Amen? So more things are going to happen. And so if there is any time we are meant to disciple the next generation, we are meant to evangelize the next generation, it is now. Help me tell your neighbor, it is now. Now, to disciple the next generation means raising a people who will be allergic to sin and addicted to God. I repeat that again. To raise a generation of people who will be addicted to God and allergic to sin. People who will hate sin with every passion in their hearts, and to bring the purpose of God to pass on the surface of the earth. To disciple the next generation is also to be a role model to the next generation. Don't forget that when we are talking about discipling the next generation, we are talking about your biological children, non-biological children. Every next generation, every young person you have around you is the next generation. And God expects us to disciple them. God expects us to evangelize them. Now, you need to understand that the next generation, they are prone to learn things they see much more. They are prone to learn things they see faster than the things they hear. Does that make sense? Now, look at Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7, verse 17. Are we there already? Okay, let's look at Judges 7, verse 17. Are we there? And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do what? So shall you do what? Now, we all know the story of Gideon. He was a great discipler of his time, a people developer. And the Bible recorded that when they got to the camp, because he needed to give them an example, he said, when we get to the camp, whatever you see me do, do likewise. And God will want us to do the same in discipling the next generation. And that is to say that they are watching us. I'm now talking about the ancient, because this morning we'll be addressing the ancient and the modern. Is that clear? They are watching us. They are looking at us. When I'm talking about the ancient, I'm not talking about the 80s or people who are in their 50s or people who are in their 70s. I'm talking about the people who are meant to coach the people who are coming up. So as you are seated, even in your 30, okay, you can still be a discipler to the coming generation. And what we are saying that you need to pattern your life in a way that the coming generation can look at you and they will follow what they are seeing. Amen? Now, I want to let us know that the challenge we are having is that the 80% of the young people we see around us are addicted to social media, copying so many things, copying strangers from the social media. Some of them, strangers, have become their celebrities, you know? So they log on, and when they log on an FB, strangers become their friend, and they seem to pattern their life by the reason of what they are watching and what they are seeing. You can imagine a young person who has a very great destiny. And before you know it, the young person is looking forward to be like Flavor. Before you know it, it becomes the ringing tune. And that can tell you where such a young person is heading to. What are we saying this morning? That we who are meant to disciple these ones should pattern our lives in the way they can copy us. Help me ask your neighbor, are you prepared for this? Amen. Some of you young person, young people in the house, you visit your webpage, you visit your FB. The face is different from the name. The name is Jacob's name. The face is Esau's face. The name is your name we know. And the face belongs to another person. And for your own profile, if we look at the profile, you that we are meant to disciple. In fact, but God may not allow you to take Holy Communion here next week if we go by the profile. So what are we talking about? God is calling us. This day we have heard the prophecies. We are also hearing the word. That we should also pattern our life as young people in the way that God will be glorified. And we that are men to be an example to them, we have a role to play. We have a price to pay. Now, church, I believe you will not forget that when we talk about the next generation, and when we talk about we are talking about the generation at the crossroad. We are talking about an Indomie generation, a rank zero generation, a microwave generation, a generation that wants everything at the now. That is the generation God is mandating us to disciple. I once finished a program, a youth program, in a particular church. One girl ran out and she said, "Mom, somebody is planning to marry me." I said, "Oh, praise God. I hope he's a Christian." She said, "I don't know him. I met him on the Facebook. And since then we have been chatting." I said, "Marry somebody whom you met from the Facebook? Marriage is not a holiday, I hope you know. It's a life affair. So talk less of marrying the one that you met from the Facebook. And marriage is not about chatting on Facebook." And that is to tell you where some of them are heading to. Very confused generation. And the Lord will want us to help them. And the Lord will want us to assist them. And this morning, we should realize that if we want to play the role of being a role model just like Gideon did, the lawyers will say, "Nemo dat, kod non habat." You cannot give what you do not have. For you to give, you must have it. You don't tell them not to steal when you are a thief. You don't tell them to dress decently when you are almost exposing every aspect of your body in the name of fashion. You don't tell them not to do this when you are doing it. That was what Gideon did. He said, "When we get to the camp, as you see me do, do what? Do it." Including in our homes, including outside the homes. Now, the question is, because I'm going to look at that question and then look at another thing and then we pray. Now, the first question is, how can we disciple the next generation? How? And then why? And then we pray. To disciple the next generation, I'm going to be a little bit fast now. So if you have your writing material, just keep writing. To disciple the next generation, number one, you must love them deeply. To disciple them, you must love them. You are meant to love even the ones that are unlovable. Because they will keep hurting you sometimes, but you are meant to love them deeply. And that love must remain stable. It must remain stable. It must have a lasting impact. Number two, to disciple the next generation, you need to encourage them. Don't condemn them, but find a place in your heart, find a way of being an encouragement to them. Amen? I did not say don't rebuke them when you see evil, but be an encouragement to them and don't condemn them. Rebuke when necessary. Number three, in discipling the next generation, you must learn to befriend them. They must become your friend. You must find a way of coming to their level and coming into their world in order to be a lifelong friend to the next generation. You know, the problem is that some adults, we feel we are so big. But when you start, you discover that there are so many things. Amen? And some of us, you know, maybe because of our placement in life, we feel we cannot come so low to find out what is happening to them. That is an error. Somebody help me say an error. No, when you don't talk, we regard you as a suspect. So, to disciple them, we must learn to listen to them in order to evangelize them. We need to come into their world. Some of us will say, "I'm not a youth minister. I'm not doing youth work." Let me tell you, from the verse we have read, every one of us is mandated to reach out to the next generation. You saw the king. Was the king doing it because he was young or because he was called to empower them and to send them out? The mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel is for every believer. And so if you are an adult, don't wait to say it is for these people or for these people. Wherever you find young people, you are meant to disciple them. You are meant to evangelize them. You are meant to pull them closer to the cross. It is only when we get relaxed with them, when we come down to their level, when we befriend them, that they can open up. Young people, true or false? I know not church. I said true or false. So it is only when you come to their level that they can open up to you. Otherwise, if you remain a stranger, everything about them will remain strange to you. Praise the Lord. I pray the Lord will help us. Number four, to disciple the next generation, learn to correct and rebuke
them when necessary. Learn to correct and rebuke them. Can we go to Proverbs 23? Proverbs 23, 14 and 15. Please, if you have the New Living Translation in this house, can you help me read? If it's not New Living, NLT, we read from another version. Anybody with New Living Translation in this house? Oh, okay, please, with a loud voice.
Don't fail to correct your children.
Mm-hmm.
They won't die if you spank them.
Mm-hmm.
Physical discipline may well save them from death.
Don't fail to correct your children. They won't die if you spank. What a wonderful version. Amen. So God will want us to correct them. For those of us who are parents in the house, God desires discipline. Okay? If you read Proverbs 22 verse 6, train up a child in the way he should grow, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, if I will need to amplify that Proverbs 22:6, I would say, disciple a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not do what? Depart from it. And if you read Proverbs 22:15, the Bible says that foolishness lies in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it away. So, discipline is important, but that discipline must go with love for that very discipline to be effective. Number 5, to disciple the next generation by mentoring them. I have to dwell on that mentoring. We have read Judges chapter 6. If you read Acts 11:26, you discover that Jesus, when he was on earth, was a good mentor to his disciples. And when he left, in Acts 11:26, the Bible said that at Antioch, when they saw the way the disciples were behaving and the way they were packaging themselves, they decided to call them what? Christians. That is a pattern. Somebody help me say pattern. Now, behaving and packaging yourself properly if you are going to disciple the next generation, if you are going to disciple them. I have earlier on said some things. I also want to let you know that you are a mentor to them while they becomes what? A mentee. So the mentor should pattern his life to an extent that you can reproduce yourself in your mentee. Does that make sense, church? You must pattern your life in a way that you must reproduce yourself in your mentee. And the mentee is expected to cooperate. Young people, can I hear cooperate? You are expected to cooperate. You are expected to cooperate appropriately in order for us to assist you and to disciple you. You know, the problem is that some young people are too secretive. They will not open up. You know? But I want to let you know that when it has to do with discipleship, there is need for confidence and trust. If you are going to disciple somebody, there is need for you to have confidence in the person whom you are discipling, and the person should also have confidence in you. It should be a two-way sword. I don't know how to say it, but there should be an agreement between the two parties on that. We have had issues of people who are meant to disciple the smaller ones. And when they confide in you, you will just go verbatim and represent the thing with particulars, with the person's name, with the person's home address, with everything. And some of them, they get scared in coming around to be mentored. We should watch this. And I also want to advise young people, try and open up to your mentors. Your mentors are in the house. Try and open up to them. You know, why am I saying this? I will share this to encourage somebody in the house. I have this girl I was mentoring, and I'm still mentoring. And she was having proposal, you know, and people will be proposing her, and she will come and say, "Mommy, please pray along with me." And we'll pray. And one day, she came into the house and said, "Mommy, this pastor called me, and
And I know the pastor. The pastor is a friend, and I knew he was lodging in a hotel. And she said, he called me, and I'm going there. I will come back to you when I finish going. I said, I hope you are not going to the hotel to meet him. He said, no, that they agreed to meet somewhere around New Haven. And I said, okay. And she went and came back. And she said, Mommy, he's talking about marriage. He's talking about proposal. I said, for what? But he's married. He does not stay in this city. The wife does not stay in this city. Why is he talking about marriage? Completely married, wedded in a church, and then talking about marriage. Help me ask your neighbor, or call Bruce the second wife. You could have imagined, just imagine, what would have happened if this girl didn't come. In fact, up to today, the man has been dodging me. Because I knew that he was married and he doesn't stay in this town. I said she should go and pray about it. And you know, some of us young people, we are still making the same mistake. If maybe she didn't come to open up, you would have wondered what would have happened to her. Somebody say, God help us. But that is the generation we are in. He's a missionary and he's also a pastor. Kalabush and Lord, we help this generation. Up to date, he has been dodging me. And I pray he doesn't dodge me till Jesus comes so that we settle it here. So what are we saying? Unimaginable things. And then some of you young people, we are still saying the same thing. There is need to open up. Help me tell your neighbor, if you are a young person in the house, there is need to open up. One of them came, very intelligent girl, a child of a pastor. And when she arrived, and we kept talking because she wanted to be mentored. And we got to a point that we are talking about marriage. Has anybody proposed? He said, yes. One brother proposed. We are in the same church. And we are all workers. Two of us are workers. And since he proposed, we have been sleeping together. And when he proposed, he said we should be sleeping together. And I accepted and we started. I said, you started? She said, yes. And since then, we've been sleeping. And one day, why I eventually really wanted to see you is that one day, I asked him, what are we going to tell the marriage committee when we get to the marriage committee? And the young man turned and said, when we get to the marriage committee, we'll tell them, when you sleep, the Bible says, and that is Paul writing, when you sleep with a harlot, you are already joined together. So as far as we are concerned, and by the reason of the scripture, we're already joined together. That was why we are sleeping together. I look at her, I said, wow. Why you allow yourself to be deceived in this form? And the same brother can be also sleeping with another person. I said, so you have been sleeping? And she said, yes, we have been sleeping. And before we are through, she started weeping. And you would have imagined what would have happened. In fact, I advised her to go and cut off from that relationship, if you want to know my advice. Amen? Amen. Because marriage should not be before proposal. Ewo? God help us. God help. Somebody say, God help us. Mi kuro kwibe. So I say, God help us. Chineke nyana nyaka. Ewo? So that is that. What are we talking about? Young people, there is a need to open up to your mentors. Young people in the house, you are hearing me. Do you have a mentor? Help me ask your neighbor if you're a young person. You were for a mentor. Do you have a mentor? What was the response? Ask the person to give you the particulars, further particulars. Now, number six, to disciple the next generation, we must be available and accessible to them. In mentorship, there is need for availability and accessibility. Some of us are seated here, you are looking at me. You are meant to mentor them, but you are too busy for them. You are too busy. You are too busy to even sit down and listen. But I want to challenge you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Map out a program for them. Some of them are not in your agenda. You are looking at me and you know I'm talking to you. Some of them are not in your agenda at all. But you are meant to mentor them. You are meant to coach them. You are meant to disciple them. You are meant to evangelize them. But they are not in your program because of the way you run your life. That the Lord will help you this morning in the name of Jesus. There is need for availability. Some people will say, a father. Do you know, as long as you don't create at the time on the surface of the earth, a famandi till Jesus returns. So you must create out time, map out a strategy to reach out to them. They are all over the place. Amen? Because when the chips are down, God will ask you what you did with all the privileges, all the privileges and opportunities He has given to you on this side of eternity. What you use them for when these ones are perishing. When you are accessible, you discover na akoko kanku. Story plenty. And they need assistance. When you are accessible, you will discover that they have been waiting for you. But the problem is that you are not there for them. One girl rushed into my house one day and she said, and she was really weeping from one of the Pentecostal churches. He said, my problem is that the adults in our church, the mothers, let me use the word mothers, they don't even pay attention to know what, or even ask you how you are feeling, or to know what one is going through. And I have been through a lot. Can you imagine that? Some of them are waiting for you. And may you never fail God in this season in the name of Jesus. Now number 7. To disciple the next generation, you need to teach them the urgency of salvation. Never take chances or assume. Teach them the urgency. People are dying on a daily basis. So many things are happening. People are being kidnapped. People are being raped. So many things. Dangers all over the place. So there is need for you to let them know the urgency of salvation. I was invited in a meeting which was supposed to be a very strong spiritual meeting. And at the end of the day, when I finished, I was making altar call. And people were like looking at, how is this woman making altar call here? And I turned and I knew that that was what was in their heart. I said, these are not the days of assumption. Help me tell your neighbor, these are not the days of assumption. You don't take chances. So you give them the opportunity to take a decision and let them know the urgency. Number 8, be a good listener. Be a good listener. You need to listen to them. You need to be patient with them. Number 9, you should pray for them. They must be on your prayer list. They must be on your prayer list until Christ is formed in them. We will just stop there. Then the next question is, why should we disciple the next generation? Why? Let's go to Psalm 71. We can read from King James now. Psalm 71. If you are there, please help me say I'm there. We read from 17 and 18. Psalm 71, 17 and 18 says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone. That is to do what? That is to come. We are talking about the generation next. And for David, who was meant to be a people developer, this was his prayer. God, you have taught me from my youth. Now that I have joined the ancients, O God, help me. Show me your strength. Show me your strength. Grant me the grace to disciple this generation and the generation that is to come. That is the prayer, a very wise prayer. And that, in other words, it can also be said, God, I have known you for 20 years. I have known you for the past 7 years. I have known you for the past 5 years. But now, the case is now, strengthen me. Now that I am getting older in the Lord, I'm getting older physically. Strengthen me. Don't allow me to pass away like a roving bird. Until I have shown your strength, until I have mentored the next generation, until I have been able to coach, until I have been able to teach the next generation of your goodness, of who you are, of your holiness, of your righteousness. Amen? May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. You know the reason why God will have to preserve some people and, you know, you will still be old and still be doing the work of God is that we need to gather the final harvest for Jehovah before he returns. Does that make sense to somebody who is seated in the house? Oh, Spirit of the living God, help us this morning. There are people whom the reason you are living, the reason which you are living for, and why you are seated in this house this morning, is to preach the gospel. When we talk about preaching the gospel, it's evangelize. It's to let the world know about Jesus. That is one of, I was talking yesterday or two nights ago to some people in an IVG, group of the youth. I said, that is one of the things you can do and it will not be too much. It's not just about prayer, pray without season. Do evangelism without season. Amen? The Lord will help us. And so God will want us to follow the prayer of David. The same prayer should be our own prayer. What is your heart cry as a mentor? What are you asking God for? Is it to give you the best land in Independence Layers phase 2, phase 3, phase 4? Or for a land in Abuja? Or God, my wardrobe, I need to change? Or God, the pairs of shoes in the wardrobe are getting, or they're wearing off. I need to change. I need this. I need money. I need a swollen account. What are you asking God for? Oh God, I need to travel abroad. I need to do this, to study abroad, to do this and that. What is your heart pant? For David, I want to show your strength to this generation and the next generation. Will that be your prayer as you are seated in the house this morning? I pray that you will develop an agenda for this generation that is at the center of God's heart in the name of Jesus. Some of the reasons why we must disciple them. I will run through them briefly before we pray now. Number one, they are in God's plan and very important to divinity and humanity. So they need to be evangelized. I take that again. They are in God's plan and they are very important to divinity and humanity, and we must disciple them. Number two, they are at a very crucial stage of their life. Very, very crucial stage of their life. Some of the decisions they are taking, they are being influenced by others, by their environment. They are being influenced by their environment. Some of the adults, some of us, we have already made up our mind where we are going to spend eternity. And some, even if they are seated in some churches, I didn't say here, somebody says she didn't say here. They are seated in some places, let me use the word places, where they have made up their mind that they are going to hellfire. And no matter what you do, their mind is made up. I remember a wealthy man in this city once said, if there is heaven, you people can go to heaven. Leave us. Want to go to hell. And if I'm coming back, if I'm reincarnating, and I don't see a woman, I go back. Mama Furonwa in Chiazo. Let me use the Igbo language he used. Is that not a disaster? Somebody you are already breathing, but you have made up your mind where you are going to spend eternity. But we are talking about people whom we can influence their decision. At their age, at their stage, at this stage of their life, we can influence their decision. To influence that worthy man's decision will be very difficult unless God saves him. Amen? Because some of them have covenanted with Satan and they know the level of the covenant and they can make any casual statement. What are we talking about? They are at a very crucial stage where they can easily be influenced and their decisions can also be influenced and they will run with it. Number three, another reason we should disciple them is that they are the generation at the crossroad. I have said that earlier. Very confused. Most often, they are attached to high technology. They are also very energetic. They are prone to violence. Some of them tend to do things that are, you know, criminally minded in their activities. And as far as they are concerned, there is. And as far as we are concerned, there should be a sense of urgency. There should be a sense of urgency in our reaching out to them. We have to see it as an emergency. Somebody help me say an emergency. Good. Number four is that they are easily influenced by bad company and their environment. Amen. And so as God grants us the grace, we are meant to make them realize the effect of bad company. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, for bad company corrupts. Say it, young people. Bad company does what? Now, you know, some of them, the people you see that are into drugs, 70% of them are being influenced by their friends. Somebody has taken into drug and taking Indian hemp morning and night, because Daniel that lives the next door has been into Indian hemp, and Daniel has told him that if you take this, you will feel very high. In fact, you will not be on this planet. You'll be operating from the other planet. And the person, all of a sudden, decides to start taking Indian hemp. Some of the vices we see among them are bed through bad company. I'm saying this based on experience, and I usually share this in platforms I find myself. We organize, in Pleasant Gathering, we organize what we call a rehab project. Some of us who are part of this, I can see some faces who attend our meetings and our programs. We organize what we call a rehab project, whereby we reach out to the prostitutes within the town. And we do that in the night. We go there around 8 p.m., and sometimes we stay there till 1 a.m. in the night with them. And if you come out in this town within 12 midnight and just decide to drive around Ogui Road, you know, where you have filling stations. Some of us, you know where I'm talking about, filling station. You know the filling station. There are so many filling stations in Ogui Road, but I'm talking about one. Amen? So you drive around and then you take the other direction to Okuna, and from Okuna you bus to Bisala. You will notice there is also something is already going on at the bus stop. You know about Newberry, you know about Otiba Garden, you know about 8 hours, you know about even part of Chima Avenue has turned into so many things. And so many things goes on in the night in this city. And I'm sure that if you have the privilege of driving around, a burden will emerge in your heart. You will develop a burden for the next generation. Because when we reach out to them, they will be the one to reach out to the coming generation. By reaching out to them, we are only trying to lay a legacy. A legacy that is to say, I'm dropping this. And when you drop it to them, they will drop it to the forthcoming generation. That is what we are saying. And that generation they drop it with, we do what? Drop it with another generation. That is what we are saying. And I remember we got there one night, and we met this girl. I've not forgotten the story of the girl, because even 6 months ago, she came into our meeting, she attended our program and gave her testimony. And it was raining heavily. And I remember the young people were like, Mommy, it's raining. Should we go? It's raining. I said, no, these people are standing in the rain. They are waiting for customers in the rain. And you want us to stay inside. If they are outside doing their business, we should also go in the rain and do our master's business. So we move out into the rain. And we got there, some of them were hiding in the shed. And I remember one of them said, you are giving somebody this tract. You didn't see it's raining. And they want money, they want a customer. We didn't see customers. In any matter, tract. I said, please. You should, that is even the more reason. For a customer, it's the more reason why you should take the tract. Amen? And so that night, along the line, I exchanged contact with one of them, because sometimes they may not be really listening. Some will listen, but you need to exchange contact. And from there, I started calling her on phone. And eventually, we agreed on where to meet. And we met there. And we started talking. And I have to find out from her, how do you manage to find yourself into this? Very intelligent young girl. Second year in one of our institutions in town. He said, my friend introduced me. Where is your friend? He said, my friend is in Port Harcourt. And so, for how long have you been doing it? He said, since 2007. How much do you make here? He said, 4,000 naira per night. And so is that the minimum? He said, sometimes it can be above. So how many times do you come here in the night? Say 4 times. And 9 times is 4. 4 times 4, but again, you know, in the current mathematics, 16,000 in a week. And that's why you can waste your destiny. So we began to talk, and she started weeping. And along the line, I was like, where are your parents? Say, my father is dead, my mom is in the village. And we kept talking. I said, where do you live? He said, I live in the hotel. Where is the hotel? He said, in Emene. How much do you pay? He said, 400 naira per night. I said, my colleagues also live there. And so we come, I said, so you go to school from there? He said, yes. And so we kept talking that night. I said, okay, because at a point, she broke down weeping and she gave her life to Christ. I said, why do you think you have to give your life to Christ? He said, because some of my friends are missing. Some are dead. And some are sick. And that's why I think I have to give my life to Christ. And by that time, it was already midnight. It was around 1 a.m. I asked her to kneel down in my sitting room, and we prayed. We eventually moved her from the hotel where she was staying, and she entered and joined me in the house, and she was staying in my BQ for 6 months, where and I went to NTA to find a place for her. She did her IT there. I sent for her mother. Her mother came of deeper life. The mother was weeping, and three of us were awake in the sitting room. And the mother was weeping, said, I trained this child. I carried her as a baby to the church, Sunday school, choir, na deeper life. Till now, look at how this girl decided to be disgracing me. And there are 7 or 8 of them I had. And it was just like that. But the other aspect of it, when she surfaced, when eventually after the IT she left, and then last year she came to give her testimony before the audience in our conference. And she said, it's not just that I was into prostitution. I drug men and I carried their money from the hotel and I moved. What am I saying? From prostitution to what? I'm robbery. Because any weapon, it becomes armed. Eh? So from prostitution, she graduated to that. And who introduced her? Her friend. It is important we know who our friend is. We have had cases of people, one of them will tell me, nobody introduced me. Said, auntie, I introduced myself. She came to my house, said, I introduced myself. I said, so how much do you make? Said, 25,000 outside the town. If it is town, no, honor the cheaper. And you can see what people are doing, the next generation is doing. In that, when we reach out to them, they will help us reach their colleagues. We get there sometimes, they see their classmates in class, and they will start running. They will see their classmates in the university. The youth I came with will see their own friends in school. What are we talking about? The onus, the burden, everything about this lies on us, the adults, to reach out to these ones. And this is one of the things we can do, and then we will be fulfilled in life. The Lord will help us. We are talking about a generation that can easily be influenced by their environment. Just before I round up, can we see Acts 13:36? I think this is the last place I read, and then we pray. Acts 13:36, I read. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was led unto his fathers and saw corruption. For David, he served his own generation according to the will of God. Somebody in the house, God is challenging you to serve your own generation, to disciple the next generation in accordance with the will of God. It is only when we disciple them that then they will be able to disciple the forthcoming generation. Number 5, why we must disciple them? When you win one, you have won an entire generation, as we have said. And finally, number 6, you disciple the next generation because they are the major targets of the devil and the world. 70% of the evil we see around us are invented by them, including fashion, purple cutters with purple bag. Amen. Church, amen. What's going on? Okay, so everything we see around us are being invented by them. You will see sagging, 5 pants, red, it was white, yellow, before the trouser. And what's going on? They are crying to be helped. Amen? They are the major target of the devil. What about swagging? They are all the ones inventing it. 3 of us young people. Then you also visit the prison. If you get to the prison, you will notice that 80% of the people who are in the prison are all young people. 80 to 20. 20 may be adults. So you discover that they are the targets of the devil. Most of the social vices we see, you know, around us are also invented by them. Okay, we organized a conference sometime in Zodiac, and the presence of God became too much, and we made an altar call. We recovered 4 condoms in one meeting during the altar call. And then, one of the guys that dropped the condom, we had to disciple him. And during discipleship, We passed him through a process. And then he began to open up. He said to me, I want to testify during the next conference. So we gave him opportunity to do that. And when he got to the stage, he told them that I have been in your gathering 2 times with condom. I used to carry it to different Christian programs. The first time I came, I did not succeed. I came the second time, and he surrendered, and the Lord arrested him. And he said, from using Indian hemp, he was also into drug. For my quiet time, I now use the daily power for my quiet time. Amen? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But these are the generation at the crossroad. I'm happy that today he's a worker in Redeem, because he was in another church, and after the discipleship, we had to introduce him somewhere else where he can be discipled. So what are we saying? Even last year, they are the target of the devil. I had a program, a youth camp. This one was a youth camp. This one, they were camping in the city, in one of the whatever, in the city. And the presence of God became too much. And during the altar call, I said, please, if you have it, please come, drop it. That night, I went home with one condom. And usually, we'll gather, my prayer team, we came together, we burnt it, and we prayed for the person. What are we saying? If people can even go to Christian program and camp with condom when you are gathering them, what else? That is to say that they are truly the targets of the devil. And the devil can go as far as using them in any dimension. And that is to say that God is calling us to an urgent work, to do an urgent work for him, to pull them closer to the cross. Can I say this finally to us, those of us who are meant to mentor them, never give up on them. Whether you are their parents or their guardian, or you are their friend, or you meet them in the place of war, or you meet them in school, don't give up on them. Never, never give up on them until the will of God is done in their life. And God's will is that they will not perish. Before I step down here, can I challenge you that is seated here, young person? I will not end this message without challenging us, young people. You are my friends. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, like somebody earlier says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Some of you are looking at me, and we are talking about discipling you. Discipling you can only be possible and convenient for us when you accept, when you agree to be discipled. Because your association in life determines your acceleration. The decision you take today will determine where you will be in the next 20 years from now. Whatever you decide doing will affect your future. Some of you listening, you know, altar calls have been made this morning. And some of you who are seated in the crowd, you are into pornography, you are into masturbation, you are into lesbianism, you are into so many things. Even in the night, the people whom you have befriended, some will be calling you, and then some of you will be answering like a cat. You know, when you come in here, we think you are with us, and you'll be answering like a cat. Give me a maketa. And you'll be answering like a cat. Even the next person seated by you will not be hearing what you are answering. Help me ask your neighbor, Genebo Ifa. Amen? Where are you now? Anam Nayad. Kede na igan iyi keta. Anacha yellow. Maka pants, anacha pink. You are destroying your destiny. You are destroying your destiny. And some of you, they will tell you follow instruction, and you follow instruction. This is zoology. Somebody says it's zoology. Zoology department. I mean, this is zoology department. And when the zoology department in this school, no, in this campus. And where are you? So I'm talking about in this zoology department. Eh? So you need to be very, very careful. You need to be very, very careful and avoid some of these vices. And allow us to mentor you. Flee youthful lust. Paul was talking to Timothy as a young man. He said, flee youthful lust. Join them that call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Look for the company of them that are vibrant for God. Look for the company of them that want to engage themselves in God. Look for the company of them that want to become world changers, you know, world transformers, that wants to change their world and their environment, and join them.
avoid the zoology people. Amen?
The Lord will help us. Now, before I pray, I want to encourage you. You are seated in this chapel. Your mentors are in this house. Discover them. Locate them. Try and be productive to this chapel. Try and engage yourself in God. Can I say this to you? A life without Christ is a waste. Without Him, you are in crisis. Without Him, you are aimless in life. Without Christ, you are unproductive. I'm talking to both the ancient and the modern as I close. Without Christ, you are unproductive. Without Christ, you are a bomb waiting to explode, an accident waiting to happen. What are you waiting for? He is the center of our purpose. And I pray that as we are seated here this morning, the Lord is going to help us. And when the prayers were going on, and when I was preparing for this, I discovered that the Spirit is one. Some came out when that altar call was made. The Lord led in my heart, and while I was seated here, He confirmed it. There are so many people in the house. You are into addiction. Addiction could be addiction of anything. But any addiction that is not, if you want to get addicted to God. Does that make sense? The Lord will want to help you. If you are in form of, if you are into any form of addiction, God wants to help you. And I knew that those people that came out and knelt down there, we are not the only people that are meant to stand for God. Don't wander around without Jesus in this end time. I was talking somewhere and I said them, to move around in 2015 without Christ is a risk. A major risk. So I challenge you this morning, and I want to encourage us. May we never fail God, the adults, and we that are the generation that God is depending on. May God find us valuable in His service on this special day. May God help you to leave a legacy for the generations to come in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're going to make a call. Another call. If you're meant to give your life to Christ, He's the one who can empower you. Please just stand quickly, stand where you are. If you did not do that before, quickly stand. Maybe you came in while we have done that. That is the first step. To have a destiny that can never, never be truncated. Please stand. If you are a backslider, please also stand. When I talk about both the ancient and the modern. You want the Lord to help you and to restore you. Just briefly stand where you are. I would like to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in Him a friend so kind and true. I will tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cares for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else can take my sins and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Let's sing that song again. We give you an opportunity again. This is the carpenter's house. And every repairing is done in the carpenter's house. Don't go elsewhere to look for your destiny and to look for salvation or security. Stand. If you have backslidden, if you have fallen out of the track, please stand as we take that song for the last time. Every day He comes to me with a new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I never knew just why He came to save me. Till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cares for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take my sins and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Father, we thank You.
Please come.
There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take my sins and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. God will take care of your future. God will take care of you. Just ask Him to have mercy upon you. Your future is changed. Ask Him for mercy. Lord, we receive mercy for this one. We receive grace for her. And we join the host of heaven to ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And we receive the mantle of righteousness, the mantle of holiness, the mantle to rule her generation, the mantle to walk upon her high places. Thank You for this one. And thank You for writing her name in the book of life. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen. Congratulations. We are not done yet. Still in the mood of prayer. You are in this house. You are meant to disciple them. And you have been finding it difficult. And the word of God has come. And every time you try it, you find it difficult. Please, can you stand? Let's pray together and receive grace on your behalf. Amen. God must be honored. Must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life every day. You want to disciple the next generation, please stand.
Jesus must be honored,
must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life
every day. Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life every day. Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored. In my life, every day,
I say,
Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in our life, every day.
Our Father, we lift up our eyes unto You. Our help comes from You. And Lord, as we stand, we receive mercy and help from You now. At this hour of need, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as You have burdened our heart, we ask You, King of Glory, give us grace to create burden. And let that burden never dissipate until we have begun to see these young people as fruitful lands for harvest in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we stand now, we make room in our lives. We make room in our program. We make room in our agenda. We make room in our weekly and daily program. Father, to give a listening ear. Father, to observe. Father, to watch out. Father, to be able to love in our lives and for these ones in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, whatever has stolen our time, stolen our schedule, stolen our agenda, stolen our burden, Lord, today we cancel in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive from You a fresh mandate to reach out and live out to every of these young ones who is the present and the next generation. And may Your oil of anointing upon our lives flow out to blessing on them in the name of Jesus. May joy come again and again as we minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Every adult who is here, could you kindly stand? By adult, I mean you're married. If you're not yet married, you may have reached a marriageable age, but you're still a young person. And therefore, you find yourself properly where God has asked you. When God was leading us in the course of this program, He said, you do not ask of me. You do not ask of me. You ask for things. You ask for things. The speaker mentioned promotion. You ask for another house. You ask for another land. You ask for other things. You don't ask that your eyes will be opened, that you may know the needs of the young people, the children, and the young around you. By your standing, you are saying, Lord, open my eyes. Open my heart. Open my understanding. I surrender myself today. Lord, you must use me to be a facilitator, a mentor to the children, to the young people. And Father, Lord, in all my asking, I ask for the young people. I ask to know their spiritual state. I ask to know where they are now. Not just in location physically, but where they are in the spirit. Whether they are near or far. I ask that. Can that be your prayer? Can that be your burden? Can that be your desire? That you are not present with them in body, but you are absent in the mind. You are far in the spirit. You are not on the same frequency. You can't access them. You are not available. Tell the Lord, that's why I'm standing. Lord, I want to be able to have that instrument, Lord, of a revelation, of an empowering from you, of a knowing that comes from you. That, Lord, with me, the young people in my household, the young people around me, the young people they bring into contact with me. Father, as I look at them, I will not just see the physical. I will also see the spiritual. I will also see the spiritual. I will also be of help. I will be of relevance unto them. Lord, I want to fulfill that role. Like David, you have taught me from my youth. I want to impart your strength unto this generation and the next to come. Now I'm aging. I want to be able to tell of your goodness, to transfer, to teach others, to mentor them. That's your prayer. That's your heart desire. Can we lift up our hands to heaven? Lord in heaven, Lord, we ask you, Father, we have seen young people like trees before. Help us to see them in truth and indeed in the name of Jesus. We have seen our young people, Lord, in physical, in their intellect, in their physical beauty, in their physical handsomeness, in their height, in their progression academically. But Lord, where it matters most, where they will resound the more, we are barren. We know little or nothing about them. We cannot be relevant for them. We are not there to meet their needs. We cannot answer their questions. We cannot preempt them. We cannot pray for them, O God, relevantly. Lord, as we stand now, Father, open our eyes of understanding in the name of Jesus and grant us a spirit of revelation and knowledge of your will concerning our young people, those in our houses, those in our families, those living together with us, those whom we worship together with, those who encounter us according to the course of duty. Lord, may we no longer see them as moving figures. May we see their inner being. And may we locate them spiritually and be relevant for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as we stand, male and female, may the burden to look out to these ones who form the greater bulk of the social vices, who form the greater bulk of the target of the enemy, who also form the greater bulk of the vanguard of your army, who can reach not only this generation, but the next. God Almighty, make us relevant in their lives in the name of Jesus. Make us listen beyond the unspoken word. Make us hear the sounds that were not said. Make us perceive their level. And give us the boldness, Lord, in love, to reach out to them and harvest them more in love, in grace, and in mercy, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, as we fulfill this in our lives and make our lives speak of you, filled with joy, grace, and mercy, as we get engaged for you. May we never tarry back in the name of Jesus Christ. As you reveal unto us again and again, give us a heart of obedience. May we not be rebellious. Good not a word in our mouth to know how to speak a word of wisdom. And Lord, you said it. You would tell us the word to speak that would be appropriate. We receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Put us on vanguard. And may we, our children and our young ones, be an army that is irretrievable for you today in this age in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the equipping. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you honor us and cause your opening in our lives and use us to no end. To the glory of God and to the enlisting of God's army, in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord, for our sister. Thank you for how you've used her. Thank you also for the exploits, sometimes in the dens of lions, in the dens of prostitutes, in the dens of drug addicts. Thank you, God. Father, as she sold out to this ministry, Lord, sell your anointing back unto her with full measure in the name of Jesus. Oil her daily and cause, Lord, that though quiet in outlook, be full of your power and mercy. And Lord, take her from glory to glory. Use her to reach out to many more in this city and beyond, in our generation. And let our children be an ensign with whom they can boast with the enemies in the gate. Thank you, Father. Re-keep her, her family, her husband, and those who are about her. In Jesus' name we pray. And let everyone say amen. And let everyone say amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus.